point. We see similar things with firearm ownership when it's blocked for sale under certain conditions, right? So there are some states in the US that have a voluntary do not sell list. Individuals can put themselves on a list that say, do not sell me a firearm, right? Because they know it's something that could be dangerous for them. And Wisconsin is one of the states that's looking to do that. We also know this works at an individual level. So one of the main crisis tools we have is called safety planning intervention. And a big part of that incorporates lethal means counseling. And so that talks about how can we make your environment safer? When you're in crisis, what can we do to create space between you and that method? And we know that these plans save lives, right? That they're effective in reducing suicide attempts and death by suicide. So if we can do this at the individual level, we might be able to save a life, or we might be able to help someone get through a crisis. And I know that it feels really overwhelming to think about that, but you don't have to be a trained clinician to do this. If you're in that situation, we just want to think about concrete steps. What can we do? And so it might be things like storing the pills in a locked closet. It might be asking if we can store your firearm ammunition in a different room, right? And the key thing about these is that it's temporary. Our goal is not to take anything away from anyone. It's just to help them in these acute periods of risk get through the moment, right? And if you're still worried and you're like, I don't know what to do, but I'm concerned, there's a lot of resources to help. Those crisis lines, they can help you through those moments too, right? They're there to support you if you're working with someone who's in crisis. You can also call your local emergency services. A lot of areas have mobile crisis units that are really great in these sort of situations. The number one thing is just to stay with that individual though. We know that if someone has physical support during these times of crisis, the opportunity to act on those thoughts are much more minimal, right? So just staying with them if you're concerned is one of the biggest things that you can do. That's a way that you can help provide safety if everything else feels a little too overwhelming. So you don't need to be a clinician to make a difference. Many people who think about suicide are looking to communicate the pain that they're in and getting support around that. And that's something that everyone in this room can do, right? So hopefully this kind of simple sequence of connect, ask, respond, and encourage is something that you can take with you. So when you potentially have concerns about a loved one or a friend or a coworker, that you feel a little bit more confident in some of the steps that you can take to help them. Before we wrap up today, I want to revisit the story of Maya, who we talked about at the beginning of the talk today. So, 28-year-old teacher who was feeling overwhelmed, isolated, and silent in her pain. Well, Maya's story didn't end there, right? A couple weeks went by when she was in this space of disconnecting and isolating, and one of her friends began to notice. And instead of letting it slide, her friend reached out and said, what's going on, right? Something seems a little off. Are you doing okay, right? And by asking how she was doing, Maya was able to open up that she's struggling a little bit, she doesn't feel like she's making a difference anymore, and her job just feels so overwhelming that she can't take it. They were able to have this great conversation and connect, and her friend asked, have you been thinking about suicide? And because that connection was there, Maya felt comfortable to say yes, right? She felt like this is a safe space for me. My friend has genuine concern. Her friend responded with empathy. They sat together and talked about Maya's experience. And then she helped her get connected to care, right? So Maya started feeling a little bit better each day. Life didn't get easier automatically, but she at least knew there was someone in her corner. There was someone she could turn to when things got rough. She had a little bit more hope, and she was able to slowly get back to feeling like her old self, engaging in life, finding joy in work again. So I hope you can take away that we can all be that friend. We know that suicide comes from a place of unbearable pain. If we can connect with those around us, if we can start to notice signs of that pain, we can be the friend to reach out. We can be the friend to have those conversations, which might be being the friend who can help save their life. happy to answer any questions, but my contact information is up here if there's questions that you have that you don't feel comfortable asking in front of the group. If you're also looking to plan any speaker engagements in the future, there is the contact information for the UW Badger Talks, where there's a whole host of talks as well. But I just want to thank you for being here today, and thank you for allowing me to speak with you about this topic. I know it's heavy, and I appreciate everyone being here. It truly shows your commitment to mental health and suicide awareness, and demonstrates the care and concern that you have for those that are around you. So thank you, and I'm happy to answer any questions you have.